Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an episode of the Take Six Podcast. We're doing Raptors stuff as free agency has pretty much all but wrapped up here. I'm Hunter Surplus, as always. On the other line, we've got Mr. Callum Wise. This one, we might be a little bit somber. We might be a little bit upset. I'm sure everybody here knows why. This is my first time talking to Callum, really, since I was kind of off the grid for a week and a bit there. I was at my cottage, not a whole lot of service. Pretty much only thing that I was checking was whether Kawhi stayed or not, just about every single day, listening to ESPN radio, all that kind of stuff. That's pretty much the only interaction that I had with the outside world, outside of the lake that I was on. So, Callum, after, you know, 10 days of not really talking to you, not really conversing, not being on Twitter, not being on Instagram, my man, how's it going?
I mean, it's been a crazy week since you've been gone. Like, I tried to message you as much as I could because I knew that you couldn't really keep up with everything. Obviously, as soon as the Kawhi thing happened, that was like priority, but like all the other big trades. But I mean, it's a weird time as a Raptors fan, you know, losing obviously our best player and then Danny Green as well. It's a big blow to not really morale, just the team in general. Just like, obviously we're not going to be competing for a championship this year. Probably just being a playoff team and then looking into the future. And I mean, like, even when the Kawhi trade happened, I wasn't necessarily, like, first of all, I was not mad at all because I knew it was a possibility. Even like as soon as he came here, we knew it was a possibility that he might leave after 1 year. And look at what he did in that 1 year. He won us a championship against pretty much all the odds because nobody counted us in as a championship contender. And he won the MVP, had one of the most historic playoff runs of all time, brought this city a championship that has never had really a taste in that in our generation, that's for sure. And it's just, couldn't ask for anything more from him. Obviously, it would have been amazing if he did resign, but he didn't, and now we have to move on.
So everything you said there, I agree with wholeheartedly. And coming into free agency, you and I had some fairly, you know, high expectations with this going in. And we, throughout our conversations, were kind of saying, you know, Kawhi Leonard was going to stay, or there was a pretty big chance that he was going to stay because of what the Raptors not only accomplished in his time here, like you just mentioned, but what they could offer going forward, right? The 5-year, $190 million contract, which was more than he was going to get with the Clippers, more than he was going to get with the Lakers, more than he was going to get with whatever team that you say that isn't the Toronto Raptors. And we were coming into this very confident. And as the days went on throughout free agency, I don't know about you, but for me, I was feeling less and less and less confident that he was going to stay with Toronto and that he was going to end up going to LA. And now that all the news has come out that he met with PG the same day that he met with the Lakers, that he met with KD the same day that he met with the Lakers, pretty much tells me that he was never really thinking about coming to Toronto, that he was never really going to stick around to see where this team went, to see how Siakam ended up, to see if they could repeat into that next season. And I get that, right? He wanted to go home. And to me, like, home trumps everything. Family trumps everything. And you know that about me, Cal. Home and family trumps everything, just about. But there's always next year to me, right? In that situation, I don't know why you wouldn't run it back. And throughout that time when I was waiting, basically from July 1st or June 30th, I guess you could say, on to July 6th, I was like, man, I was going through all the rings. I was like, oh, you know what? He's going to go to the Lakers. And that is totally, you know, that's up to him. That's his decision. They're going to win 5 championships in the next 5 years. Oh, wait, no, maybe he's going to go to the Clippers and they're going to try to build something like the Raptors had. oh, wait, no, he's going to stay with the Raptors, and they're going to repeat next year, and then he's going to sign on, and we're going to get free agent X and free agent Y, and we're going to build a super team in Toronto. The one thing that I did not expect to happen was Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers and bringing Paul George with him.
When I first read it, I was like, this has to be a meme. Like, this is not real, because every single report was saying he was either going to Toronto or LA, like the Lakers. And he had already counted out the Clippers. And obviously most of us believe that. And then this happens and turn the basketball world upside down, because now, like, that is going to be the best defensive team in the league, probably one of the best of all time, just because they were already an amazing defensive team. And they get the two best two-way players in the league, which is, like, obviously I would want him to stay here, but, like, watching that team I think is going to be really fun, just because they're going to be, like, they're going to be a really good basketball team. Not, like, just a super team. Like, they're a good, like, full team, if you know what I'm talking about. Not just, like, Lakers signing every person in existence. Not the Warriors getting the best players in the league to come together and all that stuff. Now there's, like, rumors that Russ is going to go to Houston Rockets. It's just, like, all these people trying to make these super teams. But I think the Clippers, like, they made something that nobody expected, and it's going to work out great for them.
Well, man, I hope, as you know, on anything, that they do not win next season, the Clippers. That is the one thing that I do not want to happen in the 2019-2020 NBA season, is the Los Angeles Clippers winning a chip. It's not because I have hate for Kawhi Leonard. It's not any of that stuff. It's just I don't want him being rewarded for what, you know, his decision was. As a fan of the Toronto Raptors.
Maybe in a couple of years, but not the wounds too open right now, you know, like
it is. And that would just be salt, vinegar, anything. Infection. That's what would happen to that wound that is still open, and it will be open all of next season, probably until he comes back. Where do you think the Raptors go from here, Cal? What do you think Masai Ujiri does in terms of either rebuilding this roster or just kind of doing what he does? Where are they going?
So I think you know about the trade that was proposed, right? The huge trade that was proposed.
Yeah.
Which for those who don't know, it was a trade including Paul George and Russell Westbrook, centered around Pascal Siakam and crippling our, what was the word? Assets or something?
Yeah, basically.
They would have taken every single player on our team pretty much, which it would have included OG, Fred VanVleet, probably all the young guys like Boucher, four unprotected first round picks. It would have literally destroyed our team.
They would have taken everything.
For maybe one more year of greatness. But we already got that year, and that's what we wanted. Now we want to have a great team that we built. Like, that's what I want. And Pascal, which obviously they proved is worth it, if they're willing to offer that much just for a trade centered around him. He is our future, I think. I think he can be a great player in this league. We already have a great young team around him. Like, Fred VanVleet is going to be a great player. OG hopefully can start to move up in this basketball world. You know, Boucher is looking bright. Like, we got a lot of guys, and I trust in Masai Ujiri, like, more than any GM in this league, just because of what he's done. And I think that he'll do great things. Like, he's already made some decent acquisitions, like Hollis Jefferson, decent player. He makes these quiet signings that you don't really take in, but they're decent. Like, he got them for pretty cheap, and they're just going to add to, like, I believe that the Toronto Raptors are going to be a fifth, sixth seed team, maybe even fourth in the playoffs, or like at the end of the season. And that's fine after losing your best player and another great player in Danny Green. I'm totally okay with that. I'm fine with having a year where you're not trash, but you're not going to repeat. And I think after, especially losing Kawhi Leonard, you have to wait that extra year. Like, you're not just going to go right in for another player. I think waiting a year until next free agency and seeing what's available is what Masai Ujiri is going to do. And I believe that he'll make the right decision no matter what. And he knows how great of a player Siakam is and is going to keep turning into. So I think that everything is looking bright for the Raptors. Nothing is wrong right now. I think everything will turn out just fine.
And the one thing that we do know about Masai Ujiri is that he has wanted to rebuild this Raptors team basically forever, right? As soon as he came in 2013, he wanted to rebuild and wanted to trade Kyle Lowry to the Knicks. That didn't happen. He tested the waters with what DeMar DeRozan was worth, and he didn't really find any suitable offers for him. And then he ended up coming across this gift, this present that just dropped into his lap, where we basically made one of the best trades of all time. And if Kawhi Leonard stayed for, even if it was only for a 2-year contract or a 1-year contract, that might have been the best, you know, it would have been up there with some of the best trades of all time that those old Celtics teams made. I don't know if there is a better mind or GM in the NBA as a whole. Like, obviously you can look at the Danny Ainges and the RC Bufords of the world. And I think Masai Ujiri is right up there, if not at the very top of that list, in terms of how he creates teams and how he finds ways to make his teams successful. I don't know if this year is going to end up with, if the roster at the end of this year is going to end up having Lowry, Ibaka, or Gasol on it, because all of those contracts are expiring by the end of the year. Like I said, Masai Ujiri has wanted to rebuild ever since he took over in 2013. Maybe, and this is maybe, I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything. I don't know. Maybe he tries to get off of Kyle Lowry's $35 million. Maybe he tries to get off of Serge Ibaka's 20-something million. Maybe he tries to get off of Marc Gasol's $25 million in contract space and get younger and try to fit the timeline of what Pascal Siakam is. Because chances are, if you come back and try to re-sign Kyle Lowry, which would be nice, right? It would be fantastic if we were able to sign Kyle Lowry on a team-friendly deal. But then where does Fred VanVleet go, who is closer to the timeline of this Toronto Raptors team that we need to kind of follow? I don't know if all these guys are going to be back next year. I wouldn't be surprised if Masai Ujiri can swindle a trade or two or three to get these guys out and bring some younger guys or some good draft picks in, because these guys are now NBA champions. Kyle Lowry at the trade deadline can be traded to a contender if they need a veteran point guard who has winning experience. Marc Gasol has been a winner his entire career, pretty much, in Memphis and now Toronto. He has maybe not a huge value on the market, but if he tests it and he finds something that he likes, Masai Ujiri is one to take the emotion out of moves and out of business decisions. He understands more than anybody that this is a business. I wouldn't be surprised if those guys aren't on the team by the end of the year. But also, I'm in the boat where I think I'm kind of with you, where they should keep it. They should kind of have an extended parade for this city. They should have an extended celebration for this city and have this whole year kind of be about, yeah, we won the chip last year. We've been eating chips and dip ever since. We're gonna be going into this season, and we're just going to battle. We're going to be one of the most fun teams in the whole NBA. Siakam, OG, Fred VanVleet as a backup point guard. Maybe he'll even get into that starting rotation at shooting guard if they don't like what they're seeing from some of these guys. And then Marc Gasol up front. It's going to be fantastic to see what these guys can come up with and how Nick Nurse is. And I also think this is really going to test Nick Nurse as a coach, right? We saw how good he did in the playoffs with a guy like Kawhi Leonard. But I think the big test is going to be, what can he do when there's not a guy like Kawhi Leonard out there? Is he going to be able to draw up plays for a Pascal Siakam who doesn't have the same scoring ability? Is he going to be able to draw up plays for Marc Gasol without having, you know, the ability to just pass off to Kawhi, who can score at ease, or for OG or for any of these guys that we don't know what's going to happen with. I'm excited to see what this team does. And like you said, man, like I think they could even hop up to a 3 seed in the East. I know the East at the top, once again, is going to be very good. It's going to be very competitive. But I do think that this team is good enough, and especially in the regular season, this team is good enough to be able to battle and get into that, maybe even the 3rd spot. And I think they probably fall somewhere between that 3 and 6. I think somewhere between 4 and 6. That's still a playoff team. They're going to be a very tough out in the 1st round if that gets there. They're going to be a tough out in the 2nd round. I doubt they get to the conference finals, but if they do, once again, a tough out. It's going to be fun to watch this team regardless of what they do, and I'm excited to see what Masai Ujiri can do and if he actually does start this rebuild and where he can bring this. Are they going to get 5 or 6 draft picks? Who knows? Are they going to get a bunch of young talent? Who knows? But I am excited to see what's going on. Were you hurt when Kawhi left, Cal? Did you feel animosity towards his decision?
Like you said before, I feel that because we won the championship, I feel like we were all led on to believe that he was going to stay, because like, why would you not stay in a place where you had just won the championship and finals MVP? And like, I think that's the part that makes me feel like he should have stayed, but I'm not mad at him. Obviously I'm sad that he's not staying, but I'll get over it just because of what he has, like I said before, like what he has already brought this city. He brought us everything we wanted, and that's all we could ask for. Like, I think it was a bonus if he had stayed on. Like, we would have loved, like, it would have been like the championship win all over again. Like, the people would have gone crazy if he re-signed here, and I would have gone crazy as well. And I just think that, yeah, no, I'm in like a good spot now. Now that it's been like a day or like a couple days, it's sunk in that he's not a Toronto Raptor anymore, and well, like, we have to move on from it. So I have no bad or ill will towards Kawhi Leonard.
And the thing is like, it's hard to be mad at the dude when he did win the championship for us, right? Like, he was the biggest part of that championship run. Obviously, he's not the only part of it. You know, Fred VanVleet played a huge role. Kyle Lowry played a huge role. Siakam, all these guys played really big roles in winning the championship. But we all know who was at the center of what happened. Do you think it would have hurt more if they didn't win the championship, or because you got so invested and because you had that, you know, basically 2 week celebration of them winning the championship and all the optimism that surrounded Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, did you feel that maybe this hurts more because of the success that you saw and because of what could have been?
Yeah, no, it's definitely the hardest that because we won the championship and he didn't resign, that's like the hardest part. Like, if we had not won, then like, that you and me said that at the beginning of the season, if we didn't win the championship, then pretty much for sure he wasn't staying. And the fact that we won the championship made us all believe that he was going to stay. But in reality, the way it played out, it makes it seem like he wasn't planning to go here or come resign here again. Anyways, like, the fact that he met with Paul George the same day as his LA meeting, or his Laker meeting, is pretty much tells you that he knew where he wanted to go right away. He just needed to wait until he could meet with Paul George and make sure it was going to happen. So, yeah, I think the fact that we won made it hurt a little bit more, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Like, I think the whole celebration afterwards and the post, kind of getting so involved and partying basically for 2 weeks, a week and a half straight, was not help in terms of it. We got so emotionally invested in how good this team did and how good of a ride it was and how fun it was with this team. And I think the biggest aspect of, you know, kind of the hurt and the sadness that comes from it is pretty much just like you had the ability to repeat. You know, you had the ability to go through that again and get to a spot where maybe we win another title and maybe you get that on your resume as this guy won two titles in Toronto. And this and that, I think, would have brought basketball to a it's already been brought to another level in Canada and specifically Toronto. I think it would have brought the sport to something unheard of in this city and something that never would have happened. I think that's still going to be there. And I think there's still going to be the love for the game, but the what could have been, the what if, especially if Siakam takes a step forward, which I think he will. If he gets up to, you know, 22 to 25 points per game, 8 or 9 rebounds and a couple assists, like the what if factor is going to be real and it's going to be hard to swallow because you could see those guys as the next big 1-2 punch. And obviously he found his new 1-2 punch in Paul George, which, you know, not very even, but regardless, I don't know, man. I don't think, to me, like the one thing we knew about Kawhi Leonard heading into free agency, and this is my perspective, I've told you this probably 100 times, is that we knew that he wanted to be in LA. Where did he ask to get traded to when he was leaving San Antonio? LA. It started off the Lakers, it went to the Clippers, and then he basically just had to trade me to LA, and they weren't down for that. So they ended up sending him to Toronto. And he doesn't, you know, no player owes an organization anything unless they're under contract. And even then, players are moving all over the place, as we saw with Paul George leaving. I don't understand why people are saying he at least owes us one more year. He at least owes us this. He owes us that. No, he doesn't owe us anything. He owes the Toronto Raptors nothing. What he owed the Raptors, he gave us, he gave us tenfold what we asked. He got a championship. He gave us tenfold what we asked of him. After that, after his contract's up, he owes nothing to the city of Toronto. I think that this is the best that he could have done in this situation. And I think for a guy whose stock was so low at the end of his tenure with the San Antonio Spurs and at the end of the season before this season, his stock was so low. He got traded for DeMar DeRozan, bro. That's how low his stock was. And that's not a knock on DeMar DeRozan. But if you look at them in their value at their highest level, DeMar DeRozan wasn't even close to Kawhi Leonard. DeMar DeRozan wasn't even close to Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard knew that. DeMar DeRozan knew that. Masai Ujiri knew that. That's why he pulled the trigger so damn fast on that deal. But over this year, over this season, we've seen Kawhi Leonard, and maybe this is just us in Canada who have seen this, but we've seen Kawhi Leonard turn into a basketball icon. I told you I was listening to ESPN radio on Sirius at my cottage, and what they were talking about basically for the 5 days, or like, you know, out of 5 days, 4 of the days they were talking about, you know, basically 45 minutes of the hour of the show, they were talking about Kawhi Leonard this, Kawhi Leonard that. And obviously it's because of his free agency and all that. But they're saying, is Kawhi Leonard the most powerful player in the NBA? Is Kawhi Leonard the most powerful player in the NBA? He was able to raise his stock more than anyone would have ever imagined. And this played out the best that it possibly could for Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. He raised his brand. He raised his stock. Now they're saying he's the most powerful player in the NBA. Now New Balance is a thing. This dude came to Toronto and made New Balance a damn big deal. And I think that is in no small part to the Toronto Raptors. Because if he went to play with Joe Schmo over in Indiana, or he went to go play Joe Schmo over in Charlotte, they ended up making that trade. What happens then? This guy is nowhere to be seen this offseason, right? People are obviously excited for him. People are happy that he is available, and people will be lining up to get him. But people are not going to be calling him the most powerful player in the NBA. New Balance is not selling out Fun Guy shirts in 10 seconds if he's in Charlotte. That only ever happened in Toronto. That's where I kind of get hurt by this, because Toronto, not obviously he did a lot for Toronto, but what came with that was what Toronto did for him. And that is build everything that he is now. Built his stock, built his brand, all the stuff that I said. That doesn't happen if he doesn't have the Raptors, if he doesn't have Masai Ujiri, if he doesn't get to sit out 60 games and the Raptors still go 17-5. That doesn't happen if they don't win the championship. That doesn't happen if Toronto doesn't have this great of a fan base. That's the only gripe that I have with it. I don't know if you agree, but to me, the Raptors built up Kawhi Leonard to a spot that he had never been, and I don't think he would have saw that unless he was right by LeBron's side in LA last year winning a championship.
Oh, yeah. I think that that's a great point, that he's now one of the most sought-after players in the NBA, easily. Like, probably top five, I'd say. Maybe even top three, just because, like, he's young and, like, just looking at what he did. So, yeah, that's definitely a good reason. And, like you said, probably best Toronto trade of all time, probably best of our generation. Like, you got Kawhi Leonard for DeMar DeRozan, and you got Danny Green for Jakob Poeltl. Like, all right. Like, that was an insane trade by Masai Ujiri, and that's also what ties into why I think the Raptors will be fine. Like, the fact that he could pull that off is just makes me confident in his abilities.
Do you want to move on to Danny Green, or do you got some more stuff to say about Kawhi?
I'm good with the Kawhi talk.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, we'll be meeting up at a bar at some point in the next few days, and we will hash out all of our discomfort and disbelief with this a little more inebriated than we are right now. So Danny Green went to the Los Angeles Lakers. I love this move. I really do. And I think this makes the Lakers team so much better than what people were saying they would be if they didn't get Kawhi Leonard. Danny Green going to the Lakers is probably the best fit for him. You've got LeBron, you've got AD, you've got Boogie now, you've got JaVale McGee, you've got KCP. None of those guys are necessarily shooters by any stretch. I mean, you know, Boogie.
You got Rondo.
You got Rondo. That guy can't shoot for his life. You give this guy 10 free throws. You give this guy 10 wide open three-pointers, and he has to make 6 of them or else he gets shot in the back of the head. See ya. See you later, Rajon. Bye. But for real, I think Danny Green is going to have not necessarily a breakout season, because Danny Green is never really going to be that guy, but he is going to be a main component of the Lakers. If they do get far, I think it's going to be based off, obviously, there's going to be LeBron's performance, AD's performance, all that kind of stuff. But I do think that Danny Green is going to be such a big component to their offense and their defense that he's going to get nothing but credit if that team does succeed. I think it's the perfect fit for him. I don't think they should have brought him back without Kawhi, realistically, right? Do you agree with kind of Masai letting him go and not pursuing him? Because we do know that Danny Green would have loved to stay in Toronto, as he said on numerous occasions, but he just kind of knew that it was all about Kawhi. Are you happy with this decision from Masai and Bobby Webster in the front office there?
Well, I don't think it was completely their decision. I think Danny Green, like, if Kawhi didn't stay, then he was going to leave. And, like, I as a basketball fan, I think it's a great move. But, like, as a Toronto fan, I still would have liked if Danny Green had stayed, even if Kawhi had left. Just because, like you said, he loves this city. And he didn't necessarily sign for that much money for how good of a player he is. And, like, obviously, I think thinking about the future, I think it was a good move for the Raptors, because you free up that cap space just because, like, you got Gasol on a lot of money because it was a player option, and you have Serge Ibaka on a lot of money. You have Kyle Lowry on a lot of money. So getting rid of that cap space just makes the future much easier to maneuver. Just look at the Maple Leafs, man. They were in cap space hell for a long time, and they finally got out of it. And that's, I think, kind of what is going on here. I think this is a move getting pretty much ready for next season, or possibly like halfway through this season even. Seeing, like, having that free money, or not, like, that money freed up is a big deal. And yeah, I think for the Raptors, it was a good move. And for Danny Green, obviously, him going to the Lakers is going to be a great time. Like, I have my, if the Lakers stay healthy, I have them winning the championship, just because of the team they've put together.
Yeah, and like, if you look at the situation that the Raptors are in right now, they're not in contention for a championship. To me, Danny Green is a guy who will fill out the edges, and that's why I was so happy with Danny Green coming. And I just said how big of a impact he's going to have on the Lakers season. But I do truly think that he's one of those guys who kind of just fills out the edges so well on a contending team, on a team that can win a championship or two, that he is going to be, he's one of the best players you can have as your fourth or fifth best guy. And that's kind of where I don't see this Raptors team really needing that. And this Raptors team needing to spend that, whatever, $12, $14, $15 million on a guy like that, because of where they're going to be positioned in the standings. Like I said, third to fifth in the East is not horrible, but I think it's safe to say that the West is going to be the place you want to be if you're going to be a contender, with the Lakers, with the Clippers, with the Nuggets. You can go down the list of teams. There's about six or seven teams that are going to be clear, you know, title contenders in the West. Danny Green doesn't make that in the Raptors scenario. He doesn't push the needle so far that the Raptors are going to jump up to the second seed without Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't push the needle so far that the Raptors are going to be a contender for the title without Kawhi Leonard. To me, the only reason that Danny Green was going to stick around was going to be if Kawhi Leonard was still here, and if we needed that extra guy to kind of, you know, turn this team into something that we needed it to be. I loved Danny Green as a Raptor, and I'm so happy that we had him for that 1 year, because he truly was one of the best teammates from all I've heard of. He was a really good teammate. He had that really good podcast, very insightful human being. You could tell that he brought a culture with him, along with Kawhi Leonard, of course, that was needed in a locker room full of young guys and full of guys who weren't as experienced as Danny Green was. I love that about him, and I think it would have been a great addition to the team that we have, but I just didn't see him as a fit in our system with where we were going and where we're going, because obviously this is a team full of young guys. They're getting a bunch of guys off free agency who are young guys. Their team, their core right now is young guys, except for Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka. Danny Green would be in that Lowry, Gasol, and Ibaka range. And like I said at the beginning there, I don't know if those guys are going to be on the team much longer. Signing Danny Green wouldn't necessarily make sense to me, at least. Overall, you know, I like him on the Lakers. I loved him as a Raptor. I thank him with all my heart for being a Raptor, contributing to what we've done. So now you want to move on to the other guys that we kind of picked up in Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and I forget this guy's first name, whatever the Stanley guy's name is. So Hollis-Jefferson, it's hard for me to say I'm a big fan of him. The guy shoots, I think he's a career like 20-something percent three-point shooter. Not very good. But defensively, he's got all the tools to be there, and he's super athletic. In terms of his age, I think he's 24 or 23 years old, which is right in the wheelhouse of where this team wants to be. We signed him for a very cheap contract. He's here for 2 years, and I think he's a perfect fit in the system that we want, running beside a guy like OG and Pascal Siakam. How are you feeling about this signing?
Oh, I really liked it. I as soon as it happened, I was like extremely I knew exactly why, because like you just said, like the type of player is, he fits in really well with what we already have, and cheap contract, 2 years. He's really young, athletic, good defensively, and yeah, there's nothing bad about that signing at all. Like, it's the perfect signing because it was so cheap, and he's a very good, like, I don't want to say really good player, but just like, he's a decent player to have in this team, and he fits into the style of basketball that we have. So yeah, great signing by Masai Ujiri.
Yeah, and you know what? It fits what this team is perfectly. And then their 23-year-old forward, Stanley Johnson, he was one who signed on a 2-year contract, sorry. Hollis Jefferson only got the 1 year. Regardless, 2 years, $7.5 million on the Stanley Johnson guy. He hasn't had a perfectly planned out NBA career so far, but solid skill set. He's, you know, good on the dribble. Once again, not a great shooter, but very athletic, big, and, you know, very athletic, big, strong, very good defensively. Sorry, I kind of got caught up there. But I think that those two guys rammed out this roster very well. Like I said, he's a young guy, 23 years old. Once again, fits this team's mold, fits this team and where they are probably going to go from here on out with the OG Anunobis of the world, with Pascal Siakam, fits their timeline perfectly, absolutely tremendously. Like I said, doesn't shoot very well, but as we've seen with Pascal Siakam, he developed a three-point shot. OG Anunobi, I mean, we didn't see a whole lot of him this season, but he did develop a three-point shot as not this past season, but the season before that went on. His three-point shot started to become a little better, at least streaky. And maybe, just maybe, with the way this team plays, they're going to be able to open up some shots for some of these guys and maybe get them over the hump of what their three-point ability has been up until this point. Up until now, they haven't shot the ball very well. And then we can kind of say that both these guys have the same archetype, the same build. They're both big, athletic, strong, defensive guys. They're going to bring a presence to this team that's going to be fantastic, because we know how good of a defender Kyle Lowry is. If, you know, we're going to say this is all going to be the team that we have going forward. We know how good of a defensive player Kyle Lowry is. We know how good of a defensive player Fred VanVleet is when he needs to be. We know how good of a defensive player Pascal Siakam can be and what he's shown. Obviously, Serge Ibaka, obviously, Marc Gasol, both defensive player of the year candidates in years before Gasol won defensive player of the year in his time. Then we've seen OG Anunoby. We've seen flashes from him. And I think these guys are going to be just like that OG Anunoby build. He's going to be very athletic, very strong, very fast, very good laterally. And they're going to be able to get up on players and at least make it very tough to play against the Raptors. When I say that they're going to be tough matchups in playoff rounds, this is the type of things that I mean. The defensive ability. They're going to be one of the better defensive teams in the league without having one of those really big defensive stars like we kind of talked about with the Clippers in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. How do you feel about Stanley Johnson, my guy?
Yeah, it's another good signing by the team. Another cheap contract, same style of player, just I mean, not so great shooting wise, but he's big and he's athletic, and I think he's, I don't know, is, I haven't really watched much of him, but I'm pretty sure he's an okay defender, so that will hopefully fit in well with this team.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's we're going in the right direction, if anything else. And this team is going to be exciting to watch, fun to watch. They're going to throw out some very fun lineups, I'm sure. Pascal Siakam, I'm hoping, is going to average, you know, 25 a game or something like that. Before we go, who do you think is going to be the better team next year, the Los Angeles Lakers or the Los Angeles Clippers?
The Lakers.
Yeah,
if I'm they right. stay healthy.
Yeah, well, so you could say the same thing about the Clippers too, man. Both those guys have dealt with injuries in the past, in Kawhi yeah. Leonard and Paul George, but so have Anthony Davis, LeBron, Anthony Davis and Boogie. Is like
the guy I'm really talking about, just because he's been so injury prone his whole career.
But the past 2 years, he's been fairly healthy.
Yeah,
the past 2 years he's been fairly healthy. With the exception of
one more question for you.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
What was your favorite move so far of the offseason?
In total?
Like just any move in the league so far.
I hate to say this, but I really liked Horford to the Sixers. I'm not a Philadelphia fan.
That was one of them I was gonna say.
Yeah. Horford to the Sixers, man. That team is gonna be big, strong defensively there. The only thing is that it's going to clog the paint up a little bit more for Ben Simmons, which is tough. They might have to get rid of him. I know people are going to hate that, but it's possible, man. And obviously, it's hard to hate what the Clippers did with Kawhi and PG. I think that was a punk-ass move from OKC there.
Yeah, it was.
I really think it was, man. I don't think you can turn down what they were offered, because you basically got the picks for you got 10 picks in the next five drafts. It yeah. basically is what's happening. You got 10 picks in each of the next five drafts, and that's always a good thing to have. And they're talking about trading Westbrook now with OKC, but I think that was a punk move from OKC. Basically, you know, Paul George goes to them and says, "Hey, trade me to the Clippers." Yeah, all right, dude, I'll sure. trade to the Clippers. Sure, yeah, deal. Come on, man. This guy still had 2 years on his contract. I don't care how bad things got with him and Russ, because they made it work. Why did he stay in that? Why did he stay in that situation? Because he really wanted to play with Russell Westbrook. You should have let them rehash it out. You should have tried over again. And I understand that their owner didn't want to go into the luxury tax. He wasn't comfortable with the amount that they were paying both of those guys. But I think you at least have to run it back with the West being so wide open next year. The whole league being so wide open next year without the Warriors being so dominant. If Paul George doesn't get hurt last year and he's actually able to use his shoulder, I think this is a very different offseason for OKC, and they're in a very different situation at the end of the playoffs. What do you think? What was your favorite move of the offseason, guy?
Man, there's a couple that just come to mind. One of the big ones that I really liked that kind of went like under the radar was Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers. Like I think that was a really good move by them, just because of how good of a player he is. And dude, the Pacers were looking nasty. Like when they had Oladipo in, they were top three. They were up there with us and Milwaukee. They were the third place team. And getting an amazing player like Brogdon can only help them. But I mean, I think just the AD to LA just was probably the biggest thing, just because I really like AD as a player. I love LeBron, and I think they're going to work really well together. And like that's why I have my money on them winning the championship next year. So, I'm just really excited to see that, how that works out in LA.
Yeah. I agree, man. Like, there's so many things that have totally changed the landscape of the league, changed the landscape of the sport in general, have changed the landscape of what the league is going to look like for the next 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, changed the outlook of player movement, changed the outlook of who has the power in the league, all this kind of stuff, man. That's why the NBA is the most entertaining thing. When you've got free agencies like this, and you've got, you know, a 6-day stretch where things are just bonkers, just getting out of hand.
Where you got these teams, but like when you got the Clippers becoming a championship contender in a span of seconds, and the same thing, Brooklyn Nets becoming one of those teams like instantly, like that move by the Brooklyn Nets was actually insane. I didn't see that coming. I saw them signing one player, maybe two, but signing KD, Kyrie, and DeAndre Jordan all at the exact same time was kind of insane. And that's just basketball, man. That's what happens. Like, you get these crazy things that happen. There's there's no other offseason that's like that in the world. Not even close. Because like the NBA, it's like they're just throwing money around, and I just love it. It's amazing.
You took the words out of my mouth, man. It was fantastic. I loved it. It hurts that Kawhi's gone. I think it's due that we say our thanks and we kind of praise Kawhi Leonard here because of what he did for this city. Obviously, and I can't stress this enough, but obviously he wasn't the biggest part of, you know, he was the biggest part of what happened this past season, but he wasn't the only part. There was a lot of things that came into play here. There really was. And, you know, I can't thank him enough. And I haven't really had an experience like that in terms of following a sport and following a team as much as I did this year. It was amazing for me. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard was a really big part of that. Danny Green as well. Big thanks to that guy for playing for the Toronto Raptors, suiting up, playing in those jerseys and really giving your heart for this team, and not only this team, but this city. I really enjoyed that, and all of Canada's behind you guys, and there's no way you guys are ever getting hate from any of us in Toronto here.
Yeah, same here. Huge thanks to both of them. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and all of Toronto's hearts, hopefully. Don't listen to those idiots who are talking shit on Instagram and Twitter. They're not from Toronto. They're from Brampton.
Alrighty, so that'll end it up here. And thank you guys for listening. As always, you guys know where to find us on Twitter at @take_6. You can find us with pieces on the Raptors at take6.org. You can find me writing at Raptors Rapture. Just look up, you can find where Hunter Surplus writes, and that's kind of where I'm at. Callum Wise, as always, my man, thank you for joining. Thank you for chatting with me. It's been a while. We went on for a long time on this podcast, but it was well worth it, and I enjoyed every second. We will talk soon, my guy.